that. Well, today we're getting back to our series, I Want to Believe But. And this whole series is about people's obstacles that they have between them and a faith in God. I think if people knew God the way I did, just like the when we know certain people, have you ever known somebody and you think you kind of have gotten to know them kind of past all of their maybe rough edges and you know them from the inside? I knew a guy like that. Everybody else thought he was just too good for him, you know, and really he's just an introvert. You know, I knew his character. And so anytime I would hear somebody say, I don't know about that guy, well, I knew him, right? And so I'd say, no, you're not seeing the whole, you're not seeing the whole heart. You're not seeing the whole personality. And I think so many times people have a wrong idea about God, and it's that wrong idea that's keeping them away. If they knew God the way I knew God, they'd come running to him, right? If they knew God the way you, why would you trust your life to God if he was psycho or didn't care or didn't want to bring life into you? And we wouldn't stay with this faith, right? And so it's our job to communicate the real God, the real Jesus to people. And so week one, we talked about on-demand God, the God who does everything we want. And so many times, maybe an obstacle for somebody is, well, I prayed for this and it didn't happen. And I lost somebody I cared about or who knows what, fill in the blank. But God didn't show up when in the way that I thought I needed him to show up. And so right there's this wall up between them and a good God. They think that he's on-demand God, and if he didn't show up then, why would they trust him to show up in the future? Week two, we talked about killjoy God. That so many times I work with teenagers, and even I see adults, just kind of, even if they come into the church, they keep the church kind of, they're just kind of like getting the toes in the water, like that first weekend the pool's open. It's like, man, I know my son's going to make me swim, but I really don't want to get in there. It's just really not warm enough yet on Memorial Day weekend, right? Well, so many people approach the church like that. They think God is going to take stuff away from me. My life's going to be duller and more boring, and I'm going to have less friends. There's this negative thought about that I'm going to have to give up more than I'm going to gain. And the truth is, God does take away stuff. He takes away our brokenness. He takes away, he helps us walk out and or walk above relationships that are tearing us down. So there might be less time with certain friends, but by no means is it a loss to you as far as spiritually for your growing. God wants to release you. He wants to set people free. He wants to add life to us. And then, oh, by the way, when that happens, you're able to throw those anchors out, just like we learned last week, and reaching out to those people that were in your life. God doesn't want you to abandon your friends. He just wants you to get your heart right. He wants you to be cleaned up so that you can actually help your friends. So we learned that killjoy God doesn't exist. Next week, I really think is kind of the capstone week of this. You still have to listen today. But next week is the one that I think would really benefit you to either bring somebody here. Please be inviting people. There's a seat with your friend's name on it. There's a seat with your friend's with your family member's name on it here. And it's heartless God. Because we've all heard this. How could there be a God if war exists? How could there be a God if cancer exists? How could there be a good God if this happened to this child or this happened to this, you know? And, you know, we see terrorism running rampant. We see disease running rampant. We see war running rampant. And so many people are stuck behind the obstacle of, if there's a God that allows all this, I may not want to know him, right? And there might not even be a God because he wouldn't allow this. And so we're gonna go through that. And I think it'll help us. I know it will help us share our faith. So next week, bring a friend. The idea behind this series is that many people are rejecting God based on a distorted view. And we want to understand God's character better so we can share him better. Because I've heard all of these things. Not maybe said the exact same way, but somebody basically saying, I want to believe in your God. I want to believe in this good God that created everything, that has a heart full of love, that sent his son. But I've got this thing in my way. Well, today I want to talk about goosebump God. Tell your neighbor, goosebump God. I want to believe in God, but I can't feel him. when I read the Bible, nothing happens. It's just words. One thought there is to make sure you have one that you can understand. And so I encourage you to check out one of the more modern translations. They've had just as much time going into them to go back to the original languages. And so go to NIV, New King James, go to Message, go to New Living. That's what we use here. And find something that at least you don't have to wade through all the these and the thous, and find something that at least you understand. But even still, so many people, they say, you know what? Maybe they're sitting in a hotel room or whatever else. Like, I'm going to give this thing a try. And they pop open the Bible and they're like, ooh, I don't feel anything. Book closed. Back in the little Gideon drawer. And they move on, right? I didn't feel anything. I want to believe. It can also be annoying when others seem to be tapped in and getting goosebumps all the time. Isn't that annoying when you're struggling to connect with God and then maybe you're around an extra bubbly super Christian and they say something like this, man, I was driving, and next thing you know, God put my favorite song, and man, me and God were just jamming. We pulled into the store parking lot, and oh my gosh, the parking spot, the closest one to the front door opened up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! And a hashtag blessed, right? And so, it's from a Bruno Mars song, I'm sorry. And man, my husband just got a raise. My kid just got a scholarship. And you're sitting there, and you're like, I hated every song that came on the radio. In fact, it was all ads today. I couldn't find a parking spot within half a mile of the front of the mall. Oh, my husband lost his job and my son just got kicked out of Bob's School of Technology. We're not firing on all cylinders here, right? And so why does it look like some other people have this, like they're juiced, right? They're hanging in. They're like, woo! And you're like, I don't feel it. How can some people feel God everywhere and see God in everything, and I'm here thinking, where are you, God? I don't see you. I can't feel you. If you've ever wondered where God is, I want to talk about that today. Okay, just for fun, show of hands. This isn't an I'm better than you or anything like that. If you feel that you felt the presence of God today so far in the service, now somebody has to raise their hand or I'm going to quit and go home and cry. If you feel that you felt the presence of God so far in this service today, I'll include last week too when Gabe was preaching. And we'll get, I'm sure you did then. If you felt God in a service recently, raise your hand. That's really cool. It's really cool. How did you know you felt God? How did you know? How would you describe that you know you felt God? Did you get the godly goosebumps? Because God's presence can give you a tingly feeling, but so did sitting across from a cute boy or girl in high school, right? Right? You start talking gibberish and doing stupid things. Well, what about I've been worshiping and I feel emotional and sometimes I've cried, or you might see somebody else, especially in more of an extended worship set where you see somebody just, God's just ministering to them, and you start to see tears. Well, an emotional movie can make you cry. I am a big crybaby in movies. Danielle will always look at me right when she knows I got a tear. And she'll be like, you know, I'm like, you know. I am a sucker for every emotional part in a movie. I just am. I just am wired for it. Big crybaby. Well, what about if you feel God's peace? Oh, I know I felt God's presence because I felt a peace. Well, you can feel peace in a candlelit bath. Well, at least that's what I hear, you know. I don't want you guys thinking I sit around candlelit baths all the time, crying over movies. This isn't going well. Right, jeez. But if I want peace, I can also send the kids to their grandparents, right? I can get peace. How do we know it's God? What if you didn't feel God today? Whose fault is it? God's fault? Your fault? Worship leader's fault? Sorry. Actually, Catherine led the day. She did great. if you don't always feel God's presence, you're not alone. Okay? Psalm 88, 13 and 14 says this. Oh Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. Oh Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? Wow. If you read through the Psalms, you will actually see a theme throughout almost every Psalm. And even sometimes, yeah, like a Psalm will start one way and then it finishes leaning into the power of God. But so many Psalms start with, where are you, God? So many of them, including David, who was, God just considered so close to his own heart, you know? And so the Bible's full of people that always seemed like they were a heartbeat away from God, right? And yet so many of them, part of their story is times, multiple times, where they looked up to heaven and said, I'm getting nothing. There's a great author named C.S. Lewis, if you're familiar with the Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, things like that, but wrote some powerful stuff. But listen to this. He wrote during one of his most painful times of his life, he said, I cried out to God, and I got a door slammed in my face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. And after that, silence. Oh. He confessed that this heavenly silence made him doubt God's existence. He wrote, there are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited? It seemed so once. That's heavy, right? That's somebody who's emotionally just tapped in, is used to having an experience with God's presence, and not able to find it at that moment, right? Why don't we always feel God? We're going to go through a few reasons why. Number one, maybe you are over-sensationalizing it. Oh, bubbly water, thank you. John 6, 29 through 31 says this. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one that he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. This is when Jesus is on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and he'd done this miracle just the day before of feeding the thousands. And so the word got out, and he said, man, Jesus feeds us. Moses had the bread appear. Jesus is going to cause bread to multiply. We're not even going to pack a lunch. We hear that he feeds his crowds. And he preaches, and they're like, well, where's the Insta bread? Where's the Insta fish? Where's make it happen, man? You want me to budge. If you want my faith, if you want my trust, I want to see, right? God wants us to live by faith, not by feelings. And so Jesus tells the crowd, he says, you have to choose to believe in me, whether I show you anything or not. Because honestly, the more your faith is based without feelings, just like a relationship, just like anything else, it is so much stronger than if it's based on just the surface feelings alone, right? Gabe shared last week about God calling us to be anchors for people. Our feelings will not cut it when we are trying to help other people, right? They will not sustain, let alone provide, real encouragement to anyone else. How dare I insult somebody fighting cancer just by offering them goosebumps? Right? I believe the presence of God will absolutely. I mean, I've been around some times where I couldn't move. I've been times where I've been laid on the floor and I just lay there in it. I've been times where I'm so happy, I'm so excited. I've been around. I've felt about every kind of godly goosebump there is. But is that my calling card when I'm going to somebody who's hurting, walking through something, facing a mountain? They need a rock. They need the God of the grind, not the God of the goosebumps, right? I can look at anybody facing a mountain, even if I haven't faced it, right? Sometimes we don't know what to say, right? When somebody's facing something big, especially if you haven't even come close to maybe something as heavy, you know? But you can say something like this. You can say, my mountains may look a little different, but my God's been faithful. And you can trust him to be faithful. That's different, isn't it? That's offering somebody a rock. That's offering something they can plant their feet on. That's offering something they can hang on to for dear life when there's nothing else. So many people go into marriages built on goosebumps. Oh my gosh, make me want to puke. I'll talk to people, they're just looking for a pastor. They just need a guy in a suit to do the deed. And I'll meet with them and I'll be like, oh, so clueless. And they really don't want to know what true love is. And so I'm like, sometimes the Lord still tells me to teach them best as I can. But if you go in based on feelings, let me tell you something. Those feelings, those mushy ones, the ooey gooey squishy ones, they're not always there, right? Don't agree too loud, Andrew. Very dangerous. You have a baby in your hands. You have no way to defend yourself against the elbows of Chrissy. Do not agree loudly with that. I don't feel loved by him anymore. I don't feel loved. I don't feel the same way I do about that person. Well, that's because you started living with them. And woo. But even Danielle's not here. This is one of the best times because I can get away with it. The best marriages, I will tell you this, the best marriages have their share of goosebumps. There's got to be some enjoyment. It can just get so dry. You got to fight for it. But even more important, the best marriages, they didn't walk out when there weren't any, and they chose the grind. Right? So when we share this God with people, and they're just looking, they just think it's goosebump God. They think, I need to feel something. If I don't feel something, he's not real, or I'm not doing it right. People need the God of the grind, not the God of the goosebumps. They need a God that will walk with them. And he does, right? In my own walk with God, I cherish the moments when I could feel his love and power surrounding me. I cherish them. I really and sincerely do. And I don't like it when I go too far without it. I love those goosebumps, but my faith has been built on the grind. You better not try to plant a church if you've got a goosebump God. My God says we're going to grind this thing out. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose for this church. I've got a purpose for the people in it. We are going to walk it out. That's what I need, right? We shouldn't over-sensationalize the feeling of feeling God. We need to choose faith over our feelings, and you will have a rock-solid faith. So number one is maybe you're over-sensationalizing it. Number two, maybe your heart has grown hard. Matthew 13, the chapter, verses 14 and 15 says this. I'm not reading three chapters. You guys all went like, whoa! This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So many words for God's people throughout the Bible were when they were in this lost place. They'd gotten complacent in their relationship with God. They'd allowed competing idols. They'd allowed other things to get their attention and to get their hearts. Sin separates us from God. Before we're saved and after we're saved. This is very important to remember. And so your sin blocks you from even connecting with God before salvation. And so salvation is this. It's where you recognize your need for a Savior. You're asking him to forgive you of your sin. And then you're making him Lord to lead you. That's basically what that whole situation amounts to. and you're asking God to forgive you of your sin, and then he forgives you, and you're there. Well, who arrives at perfection at that moment? Nobody. That's why we say we welcome home people to God. That we want that moment to happen. We want the introductions to happen. And then sometimes during our service at the end, when I make a call for salvation, the most wonderful thing happens and you see a hand go up. And that's somebody yielding their heart to Jesus. Sometimes for the first time, maybe in a long time, right? But then after that, there's a journey. And you can either follow a path towards God healing you and continuing to restore you, continuing to make you look like his son. You can get stale in that journey. And then even what else happens is you let other things creep back in. If you've ever have felt God in a powerful way, I guarantee your heart was surrendered to God in that moment. Let me say that again. If you've ever felt God in a powerful way, I guarantee you that you were yielding to him in that moment. It's honestly impossible to not. Surrender is vulnerability, and only in vulnerability will we experience true intimacy. That works in every relationship, and it definitely does between us and heaven. Absolutely. When trouble comes into relationship between friends, between spouses, between us and God, the walls go up and intimacy is lost. Momentarily or for a while, right? And so this has happened in all of our relationships, maybe with certain friends. I've seen it in my own life in relationships with certain people. And you'll see a relationship go cold, right? Well, you're not going to be calling them up and sharing the heavy thing on your heart when you're in that cold season. Basically, the ice gets rebroke, you get reconnected with somebody, and then the intimacy starts exchanging, right? Is there a sin you've gotten comfortable with? Adultery, pornography, envy, lying, gluttony, laziness, gossip? The enemy doesn't care what keeps you from God, or even after salvation, what keeps you from being fully healed, or keeps you from being useful, what keeps you from being in the presence of God, from feeling the presence of God. And even at the worst case scenario, what will pull you back? What will pull you backwards, right? Sometimes insulation is good. What's insulation? Well, right now, insulation is what's keeping your electricity bill at $200 instead of $1,000. Believe it or not, if you took all of the itchy pink stuff out of your walls, your electricity bill would just make you cry a lot longer than you're crying now every time you see it, right? I just got my first basically full summer one, $215. I'm like, hate it. Man, my house is staying 70 degrees. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I'm going to pay for it. But if that insulation wasn't there, it'd be a whole lot higher, right? I'll tell you a funny story. On a mission trip, I'm excited. I'm in mission trip mode right now, man. I'm just listening to Spanish worship music and everything else. And Danielle's like, you already look Mexican. You are messing with people. I've got the top down, and I'm like, oh, gran yo soy, and just having a good time. But I was on a mission trip down to Mississippi right after Katrina, right? And so we're working on this house, and I could not figure out. The house had like six breakers. I don't know why I couldn't. Like, I tried all of them, and we were replacing the dishwasher. And if you've ever worked on a dishwasher, they don't give you long enough wires underneath in the first place. And so you're reaching way back under. Every edge of metal is very sharp under there. Thank you to everybody who makes those. Well, I kept hitting hot electricity. And I had about five kids with me and a couple leaders, and they laughed at me. And so I'd be working under there, and then you get a little bit of 110, and so I'm laying there on the floor, flopping around, trying, you know. And so I'd go do the breaker, try another one. I'd go under there. I must have hit 110 three or four times. And, I mean, just a touch, but it's never fun, you know. And I did. But I'm, you know, and so finally I just, I could barely reach the end, and I'm trying to just basically attach it while it's hot and get it wire knotted before, you know, without flopping around more like a fish. And everybody thought that was really funny. Electricity is a lot like when we have that pink stuff on our walls, our insulation. We really, really want insulation between us and electricity, right? If you don't have insulation between you and 110, or heaven help you, if you start hitting some three-phase stuff or whatever, you might meet Jesus, right? Sooner than you planned on. You want insulation between you and electricity, and you want insulation between your cold air that you're paying for in your house and the 90 degrees that's outside, right? Here's the thing. In relationships, insulation is destructive. There are times when insulation is wonderful. If you're going out skiing, I highly recommend you dress appropriately, right? I went with a buddy, and this was in right out of high school. Went with a friend I worked with and his dad up to a Cleveland Browns game. We get there, and we're opening up the trunk. They start pulling out these Carhartt overalls, which, if you know what that is, it's heavy-duty work stuff, about 2 inches thick. And, I mean, I've got my toboggan and my coat, and what are you guys getting here? Well, it's a Browns game in the winter. Nobody told me to bring a Carhartt jumpsuit, okay? So we're sitting in the upper deck at Brown Stadium. Oh, my. Cold, right? There are times you want insulation. In relationships, it's destructive. Don't allow sin to insulate you from heaven. When we allow stuff to stay in our lives, when we're complacent about little pet sins that we really don't think hurt anybody, right? You're actually leaving a layer. You're leaving a film. You're leaving a filter. You're leaving something in between you and heaven. It's the same with people, and it's definitely the same with God. Insulation is destructive. Don't allow sin to insulate you from heaven. Number three, maybe God wants to draw you closer. Acts 17, verses 24 through 27 says this. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord and since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. That's a good one for pastors to keep straight. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Is that awesome? He wants to be found. He wants to be looked for. And sometimes I love it when I hear somebody's story. I grew up around the Christian faith. I was tripping over it my whole life. It just had to become real for me. But some of my favorite stories I hear of other people is where they find God. You know, it wasn't something that was a regular part of their life, and they knew something was missing, and they did go open the Bible. They did go sit in on a couple services. They did start talking to other Jesus followers, and what is this thing? What's this thing I'm looking for? There's an old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and familiarity breeds contempt. Why does a fear of losing something make you want it more? Why do challenges, hard times, suffering produce the best in us, or they can? Why do comfort, ease, and prosperity produce the worst in us? Israel had its worst fall in history. It went from the greatest difference of being at the top to the bottom at its greatest moment of success under Solomon. And it just blew apart after him, right? And yet David, having to fight for every inch of ground, every bit of territory, he basically grew his entire time, right? Deprivation draws out desire. If I told you that you can't eat, I'm punching somebody. But you're going to feel twice as hungry right away. If I told you you can't drink, your mouth will immediately start watering. If you don't feel God today, I challenge you to want him more. I challenge you to increase that desire. I challenge you to chase him. Emptiness makes me ask. Desperation makes me seek. Silence makes me knock. God wants to be pursued. Just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. Just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not there. We can't believe everything we feel. That's a dangerous, stupid way to live. Feelings aren't facts. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 says this, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land." Can we pray this morning? Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you're not just a God of goosebumps, but you're a God of the grind. God, I thank you that you want us to choose faith over feelings, God. God, I thank you that you went to a whole lot of trouble to put a rock beneath our feet. And your word says that the wise man builds on it. The foolish man builds on sand. Father God, I thank you that you can be built on. If you've never trusted Jesus with your life, if you've been searching for feelings that never quite happened, and you've doubted God's existence because of it, would you be willing, just as Jesus challenged that crowd, you have one thing to do. It's to choose to believe. If you've never chosen to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to accept God for all he is without seeing anything else, would you raise your hand today? Have you made that declaration of faith? Maybe you're stuck in your relationship with God. Three questions as we pray. Have you chosen feelings over faith? If you're stuck right now, and I've been in plateaus in my faith, absolutely. But most likely you'll say yes to one of these questions I'm going to ask you. Now, first one, are you in a place where you're choosing feelings over faith? Is sin insulating you from heaven? I don't know what it is. They all keep us from God. Is sin insulating you from heaven? Third question, have you stopped pursuing God? Have you stopped chasing him? We opened up our second song today was Chasing You. Are you chasing God? Or is it just a casual, yeah, I'll see you on Sunday, man. I'm so glad we're buds. I'll see you around. Any relationship you're not chasing is going to be waning. It's going to be on a decline. If you've chosen feelings over faith, then let's declare our faith today. Father God, we choose to plant our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that every breath of mine comes from heaven. God, I thank you that it's your life flowing through mine into the lives of others. God, I choose to declare my faith in you today. God, I don't care what I feel like. I'm walking with you. Declare your faith today. Is sin insulating you from heaven? One of the simplest, hardest things is to do. Repent. Father God, you know our hearts. You know what's keeping us from seeing you, from feeling you, from touching you. Father God, would you reveal every dark thing, God? Would you shine your light of love, Father God, not to judge us now, but so that we're not carrying it on the moment of judgment at the end of time, God, so that we can have freedom now, so that we can feel you today. God, we repent. We repent of the things that we're so casual about. Help us to not be insulated from you. Have you stopped pursuing God? Then let's chase after God. That's part of why we have music at the beginning of every service. It's part of why we offer a Sunday morning worship service altogether. Because just showing up here on a Sunday morning, part of you is declaring to heaven that you want more of God. You wouldn't bother walking in the door if you didn't. But Father God, we just declare to you this morning, God, we tell you that here at Family Church, God, we want more of you. God, we want more of your healing. We want more of your wholeness. God, we want more of your truth. We want more of your clarity. We want more of your wisdom, God. We want more of your power, Jesus. So Father God, we declare that we're coming after you. Can we stand and sing? Mm-hmm.